The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, doing research for today's show, it's Professor Dan Maggio of the First Organization.
As he's got a mouthful of food, so I'll answer for him.
Hello, Matt.
I just saw the phone. Sorry. I have a talent for starting the show with people who've just put things inside their mouths.
Well, we're always eating.
Yeah, well, that's also true. Matter. Vitamin water is almost always on the table, or Dan's tea. Yep. I know that for sure. Sorry about that, Dan.
It's all right.
It's like I'm attracted to it when I'm not even paying attention.
Were you a past waiter, Matt?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have never wait tables.
But you guys know what I'm talking about. The waiters always come over and ask you how your food is.
While your mouth's full.
Exactly. And right, all you do is nod up and down. So
5 minutes after they've served it, but then not 20 minutes after they've served it.
Of course.
This is what I've noticed. So. Who knows if he's been a waiter before? It's Professor Joe Abbasid.
No, I haven't. Okay. I've gone out to eat a lot.
Oh, well, you know. Then you've been exposed to waiter culture.
Yeah, I suppose I could do it.
If we had to.
Got to have a good sense of balance, good sense of the menu, I think.
And you have to be very tolerant.
Yes. I'm guessing that you're going to meet people that would make the people we meet every day look like a bunch of Jolly Ranchers. It's not an easy go. We go to the little place on Woodward every Sunday morning with my in-laws, the Avenue. Used to be a Ram's Horn. And the gal has been our waitress for years, over 10 years. And she's also a middle school science teacher. And this is just the best way to supplement her income that she can. And she's great at both of those jobs. But, yeah, it's not an easy easy way to go. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello.
Was he a waiter at some point?
Nope. I was never a waiter.
Okay.
Like Joe, I've been out to eat plenty, especially since I live alone and do not like cooking very much, except brownies and spaghetti and a few other things.
But do you ever do brownies and spaghetti, like, same night?
Occasionally.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. No.
That works.
No, I do not eat them right out of the box. That'd be gross.
Speaking of restaurants, I think the Free Press had its, top 10 new places countdown last week. And just by randomness, I found myself at one of them last Saturday night, the Peterborough, Chinese place down in Detroit, Chinatown. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting food. Yeah. Mm. I highly recommend it. Usually, am I allowed to say this? When I walk into like a hipster joint, I'm expecting to pay $25 for just like pork fried rice or something. But everything was very affordable.
Reasonable.
It's about $30 a person for a nice meal across the board. Yeah, very nice. Their take on almond boneless chicken was...
Unique.
Unique. Now, you've been?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now,
like
Professor Dave Chow has a certain look on his face.
I grew up in that culture, so I mean, I've had all kinds of ABC all around town. So.
Sure.
So I'm a little particular, that's all. The gravy was all right.
Yeah. For the record, every member of my dining party except for myself did not know that almond boneless chicken is a Detroit original.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't get this in a lot of other places.
That's right.
Yeah. That's...
The gravy was, I thought it was unique.
It's different. It's different. I don't know. I'll try it again.
Okay.
I'll give it a second shot at it.
You always give it a second shot.
Always.
Right?
Always.
Check out the Peterborough down on Peterborough Street at Cass.
So what is the typical way that a Chinese restaurant would make gravy?
You don't want to know. Yeah, it's secret sauces, that's all. Alchemy. Just alchemy.
Okay.
I don't think it's any different than any other restaurant.
No, it
gravy,
isn't,
is
really. No, it isn't. If you throw a little bit more soy sauce, it's a little darker. You know, some people prefer dark, some people prefer light.
So. But they start with the fat and the flour and the butter.
Yeah, same old thing.
Make a roux.
Okay. All right.
Nothing... It's nothing too magical.
I'm feeling a suggestion coming on. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Perhaps you're about to put 20 questions together regarding gravy.
Hey, aren't we supposed to be getting questions about food?
That's true. To make us
yeah, we've been asking for food questions for how long now?
Salivate our way into the weekend, right? If you stump the panel, folks, you win one of our prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on Facebook. When last we had our heroes assembled, Avengers assemble, we were taking some questions from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. We're about halfway through. We'd done pretty good. The last question we had answered was, who was the first solo female host for the Academy Awards. That was Whoopi Goldberg. After a little bit of prodding, we got to that. What are the two independent states that fully reside within the borders of the country of Italy?
Vatican.
Oh, San Marino?
And San Marino, yes.
Their stamps were their specialty.
So oh, yeah, that's
I used
right.
to
yeah.
collect stamps. The stamps from San Marino were always very colorful.
Okay. I don't know much about San Marino except for essentially the entire country was founded by one family, and it's just sort of sat there for very, very, very
long. Well, I think there are lots of parts of Italy that were original political units
That's right.
of one family.
Sort of like in a Grecian kind of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
What geological period follows the Jurassic?
Mesozoic?
Miocene.
Starts with the letter C.
Cambrian?
Nope. These are all good words.
Is that actually a
yes. Cambrian is a thing.
It is.
It's difficult without a movie.
It is.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Cenozoic?
That's right. Well, this was definitely part of a classic parody of Jurassic Park because, of course, when you look, hardly any of the dinosaurs in the original Jurassic Park were from the Jurassic period. And so the guy put together a new trailer where he kept changing the word Jurassic to the actual word Cambrian Park. And then, of course, this word was used as well. CR are the first two letters.
Yeah,
Cretaceous?
Cretaceous is what it is, yes.
The era of Cretans.
You would think that...
You think we're living it now.
They would bring experts in to make sure, fact check.
Except for it was Michael Crichton. It wasn't certainly the writers of the movie, right? It was the book writer who originally did it. And he should know better.
It's like Edgar Rice Burroughs writing Tarzan, you know? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Cretaceous Park doesn't have the same ring. What famous author became famous under the pseudonym Norman Bean?
Is this like a J.K. Rowling kind of thing?
It is not. I give you the hint of the century. Name the author that you named right before J.K. Rowling.
What did I say?
Michael Crichton?
Yeah.
Nope. No, that is not the one you mentioned.
What did I say? Of all the days for me, I have like a short-term memory loss.
I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
I know. Nobody does. Yeah,
sorry.
Who wrote Tarzan again?
Oh, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah, that was Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh.
Pretty random that Norman Bean came up.
Hmm.
Oh. Mr. Bean, as he preferred to be called.
Mr. Bean, yeah.
All right. Where is the Swimming Hall of Fame located? I'm sure that Michael Phelps has a bust there.
It actually is a Swimming Hall.
Is it there in the U.S.?
It's in the United States. What city? What state?
California.
It's not in California.
Florida.
It's in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Orlando.
Nope.
Miami.
Tampa.
Nope.
Jacksonville.
Nope.
We got a map, guys. Look. Help.
St. Augustine.
It's in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
The Swimming Hall of Fame.
We're getting there.
I was just picturing some sort of classic modern parody where, you know, what was it? In the Dodgeball movie, ESPN had 8 channels, so they were on the Ocho or whatever. What number ESPN do you need to be for like, and now, live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the induction for the Swimming Hall of Fame? Probably at least ESPN 5.
And what do they do for the induction?
You dive in.
They drown you.
They baptize
you. They play Marco Polo. I mean, I don't know.
Make you wear those ear cup things that they do in the polo games.
And the nose clamp.
Synchronized swim.
For synchronized swimming.
The Harry Shearer.
We can transition over to Olympics here. What Olympic event features two main styles, glide or spin?
Ooh, I was going to go curling, Dan, but
this is Summer Olympics to narrow it down.
Glide or spin?
Wrestling?
It's not wrestling.
Ooh, okay.
Is it track and field?
It's on the field. It's one of the ones that people like to see in the big track and field during summer.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had almost Olympians from Detroit Mercy who nearly made the team last year.
Hammer throw?
No, but you're as close as you can be.
Javelin, the ball, thing where you throw the ball.
That's hammer toss.
How about just the ball?
The ball.
What is it?
Shot put?
The shot put.
Oh, the shot put.
Oh.
You can glide or you can spin.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking Highland Games. Never mind.
the caber toss.
Highland Games.
That's awesome.
The lifting of the kilt.
Oh, my. What was built on the site formerly known as John Thompson's Farm? It's a pretty well-known piece of trivia.
Oh, that's New York.
Yep, it's in New York.
Central Park?
No, nope. It's the concert place.
Nope.
Woodstock.
It is not.
No, it's not.
That's not what it says here. No, this was, you know, at the point of the Industrial Revolution, this edifice would have been put together.
Oh, the railroad.
Nope, not the railroad.
Grand Central Station.
Nope.
Rockefeller Center.
Nope. Probably the greatest icon of New York City.
Statue of Liberty.
I don't know. I was thinking what it is, which is the Empire State Building, was built on John Thompson's farm.
Oh, okay.
That would have been interesting if he had his farm out on Ellis Island.
Woodstock at somebody's farm.
Yeah, it was at somebody's farm, right?
Yeah, upstate.
Was like on Manhattan, because you don't go very far before you hit limestone.
That is for sure. That is for sure. Anybody remember a little piece of Detroit Mercy trivia? Who Father McNichols, the last name of the family that Father McNichols purchased the campus we're broadcasting from right now? Anybody know it? It's a weird name. Gorky was their last
Gorky.
Name. The Gorky Farm.
As in Park?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Maxime Gorky.
What was the first American team, the U.S. team, that won the Stanley Cup in 1917?
Oh,
here we are 100 years later.
It is Buffalo? No, it's a team that's no longer around.
It's no longer around.
Atlanta.
Like Portland or L.A. or
you're close.
Somewhere.
Very close. Pacific
weird.
Northwest.
Seattle.
The Seattle Metropolitans, yes.
Oh, whatever happened to the Metropolitans?
They probably became the Jets. Don't all teams become the Jets?
So it's 1917? I'm surprised that there were hockey teams on the West Coast.
Yep.
Weren't they? I thought there was more of a Northeast.
No, they had them out there.
They had them out there?
Mm-hmm. Who was the actor that portrayed Eddie Haskell in Leave It to Beaver?
Ken Osmond
was his name.
And he became
became a policeman.
Yeah.
Was he one of the Osmond brothers?
Ironically.
No.
Donny Osmond.
Ran from policeman on the TV show and then became a policeman.
That's right.
In real life.
But can you imagine being pulled over by him, though?
Well.
Hey, weren't you the one making fun of Beaver Cleaver there? I mean, that would be a little awkward.
I always liked Larry Mondello and his mother, Mrs. Mondello. They were was an interesting combo.
That is a very nice house coat.
You gotta admit, they had some. Yeah, who in the world names their one of their friends like? Remember Whitey Rutherford?
Yeah,
that was another one of the.
Yeah,
Whitey
was a smart mouth.
Yeah,
there's actually a lot been written about Leave It to Beaver, where the show actually takes place. Nobody really knows where the show is
interesting.
Set.
Interesting.
So, Middle America.
That's the thing. Yes. Nobody knows.
Hmm.
It was certainly a good sized house.
Yeah.
Well, Malcolm in the Middle is another show that they never tell where it is, but you can try to figure it out based on references, like driving times to known areas. But I just remember that was a question that they never really answer, like where is this show take place?
So we have five celebrities here. We're going to see if we can put them in the order of youngest to oldest.
Uh-oh.
Go.
So Dave's already taking some
notes.
I'm
getting ready. Go.
Michael Jackson. Of course, we're doing this based on birthday, because, he's passed. Ice-T, Prince, Madonna, Andy Gibb. So we're going to go from youngest to oldest.
So I would say the youngest is going to be...
Andy Gibb.
Michael Jackson.
It says here the youngest is Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Next.
Followed by...
Prince.
Close. It's Ice-T and then Prince. See if you can do Madonna and Andy for the last
Andy
two.
Andy would be next, I think, Madonna.
I think Madonna's the oldest.
No, it says Andy's the oldest. Really? And, of course, the big reveal, as we've gotten these questions from Frank before, is they're all born in the same year. Michael Jackson was born in August, Madonna slightly before him in August, Prince in June, Andy Gibb in March, and Ice-T in February. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, Ice-T would be the youngest. No, he'd be
the
oldest.
He'd be the oldest.
Ice-T would be the oldest.
Well, he'd be the oldest, right. I'm sorry.
Other way around.
And while we think about that, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, History Professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, the Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by 3.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into 3.
Yeah, but each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, the, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute, just, will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. All right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right, half credit for that.
And we are back with some great questions from Mr. Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. We're just about to wrap them up. We had the youngest to the oldest among the following five celebrities, Michael Jackson, Ice-T, Prince, Madonna, Andy Gibb. We found out they were all born in 1958, just a few short weeks away from each other, which is pretty interesting stuff. And looking at that list, did I hear you right, Jim? The only people on the list that are still alive are Ice-T and Madonna.
I think so.
It's pretty sad. What three universities did Neil deGrasse Tyson attend?
New York City.
You know, it doesn't... Well, actually, I'll give it to you because you're so close. Columbia is
Columbia.
One of them.
Columbia. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most expensive and therefore greatest university of the United States of America?
Harvard.
Harvard. He went to Harvard. He also went to one deep, deep in the South.
Oh, Emory.
It's not what it says here.
Duke.
How about the Longhorns?
Oh,
Texas
at Austin is what he attended. Yep. Okay, how many linear feet of wire go into making a single slinky?
A lot.
Yes, correct. Partial credit.
110.
It's a little high, but not by much.
I've never 94. Deconstructed one.
98.
It says here it's 80 feet,
80 feet
of wire go into making a single slinky. Hmm. And it's one person's job to wrap them up.
I still remember as a kid using my slinky when I had my little 12-inch television, using that as the antenna.
Oh, I liked making it go down the steps.
Oh.
That was the best part. Okay, we have one question with a couple different parts sent in by Leonard Pystrak of Woodhaven, Michigan, a new question writer. Although, somewhere around 50 years ago, I sent this question in to ask the 50 professor.
50 years ago?
And I won a subscription to some mag. That's what he wrote.
Hold on. Is he still getting
it? That's great.
I thought I'd try it again. Kids still play Monopoly, right?
Yes.
I'm sure the profs did as well. What is the distribution of Monopoly money at the start of the game where the denominations are 500, 100, 50, 20, 10, 5, and 1?
$1,500, if I remember right.
I believe he wants to know how many
Which
of each bills? Denomination
oh,
do you
two
get?
Of the 500s, two of the 100s, two of the 50s, six of the 20s, five of the 10s. Five of the fives and five of the ones.
That is exactly correct.
Wow.
So I'm going to guess you've played Monopoly.
A lot. I play full contact Monopoly.
He clearly passed Go and collected $200.
So. In all capitals, I will treasure my mug. That's awesome.
No, but I grew up playing week-long Monopoly. We actually played where we assigned people credit, too, just in case you did go bankrupt early.
Wow.
And, you know, be
That's
like one of those.
Cheating.
No, it isn't. You just extend the game and... The toughest part was at the end of the day, hey, guys, I got to go home. And
Well, yeah, you know, and the good old American way would be to allow people to go deeply, deeply in debt.
Yeah, I can foreclose on you now. Yeah.
They should add a new space about paying for undergrad. And then, you know,
$100,000 for the rest of your life.
To get to the point where you need to borrow money, they've mortgaged all of your properties, houses, and hotels. So you have no way of making money back.
No, we, the bank actually gave you credit. And actually collected interest.
Wow. You're talking about some house rules.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you could get money in advance rebuy.
Did you guys also play with the rule, if you land a free parking, you get all the tax money?
Yeah. We never played with that rule.
Yeah. Oh. See, some people do. It's you know, house rules.
So I guess I cheated, too.
Yeah, we all cheated. So.
Wasn't sure if you wanted the questions in the email or in a Word document, so I sent them both ways. Lols. Love your show. So happy to find it again after I lost track while having a family, job, and everything else. Mary Carter of Redford, Michigan. We're glad to see that you found us
again.
Yeah,
thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Well, wait a minute. I'll hold off till I hear the question.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
These are questions about gemstones. Gemstones.
Oh, boy.
There's only one major gemstone that occurs in all colors.
Diamonds?
It's called the rainbow gem. It's not diamonds, but what is it?
The rainbow gem.
Starts with the letter T.
Tanzanite?
Mm-mm.
Topaz?
Topaz.
Nope. Mm. Such a wonderful name for this gemstone. Not able to think of any other kinds of clues here. So she may have stumped us on the very first one.
Of all the times not to hang around with my jeweler friends.
It's tourmaline is what it's called. Tourmaline.
Oh, just going to go there.
Tourmaline was always green.
What is the lightest and softest of the things that are classified as gemstones?
Pearl?
Pearl.
No, that's not what it says here.
Lightest and softest.
Speaking of Michael Crichton, hint, hint.
Oh, amber.
Amber is what it says here. It's the lightest and softest gemstone. Okay. It's light enough that it floats in salt water.
Okay, I was going to say some QVC purchase, perhaps?
Oh. It's actually plastic.
Okay. Yes. Oh, oops. My gosh. It's really, rather interesting. It alludes to the fact here that the reason the humans discovered fossilized amber is because it's lighter than salt water, and it floated to the top of certain lakes and rivers and things like that. It's pretty interesting.
And knowing humans back then, they probably tried to eat it.
Yep, probably did. Awesome, candy. How old does fossilized tree sap have to be considered amber? That's a good question.
Clear?
How old does it have to be?
Oh,
100,000 years old.
It's quite a bit more than that.
Oh.
10 million.
A million years old?
You know, it says 30 million years minimum to be amber.
I might get tenure by then.
Will you marry
me? Those are some old insects.
You can't just try to marry somebody with a handful of sap. It's not going to work. I mean, you could try, but, you know. What other gemstone comes from the same mineral makeup as sapphire?
Sapphire.
So if rubies? This occurs, it's rubies, yeah. If it occurs blue, we call it a sapphire, and it's the same chemical makeup, but if it occurs red, it's called a ruby.
Okay, well, what chemical is different in it?
It says here that it's the mineral that you're looking for is corundum, is what it's called.
Corundum.
And it has to do with the proportions that the elements are being used. Inorganic chemistry still blows my mind.
Where is Kendra when we need
her? You need Kendra, I was going to say. Yeah.
Somebody go find her on Camp Stranger over here.
This is like the amount of aluminum and magnesium in the soil that make the hydrangeas one color or another.
That's right. The four most precious gemstones, we've named two of them, rubies and sapphires. What are the other two?
Diamonds.
And? Think green.
Emeralds.
Emeralds. Those are the big four. Yes. Holy moly. There's a list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's only a half-hour show.
I know. 28 of the next ones on the list, semi-precious gems, can you name 10? Please be careful here. These are in alphabetical order.
Pearl, amethyst. Tanzanite, amethyst.
I've got tanzanite, and I don't have pearl here.
Okay, topaz.
Topaz, yes.
Smoky quartz.
Turquoise?
Turquoise.
Turquoise, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. We already heard about tourmaline. I'm giving you guys a bonus here. Okay, we've got four so far. And we heard about amber, so we're up to five.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one that looks exactly like it sounds. It looks like the rolling sea. What do we call it?
Aquamarine,
yes. Very, very good. How about another hardcore red-looking stone, just not as
garnet.
Valuable? Yep.
That's January.
Garnet. Very, very common in the Far East for shaping.
Jade.
Jade. We're getting close. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, we need two more. Oh, my.
Lucite isn't on there.
No.
Lucite is not. How about a fossilized or extremely glassy looking lava after it's left over.
Oh.
Starts with an O.
Onyx.
No. Onyx is one of them, but that's not the one I was thinking of.
Is it
of.
Opal?
Not opal, no.
Is opal one of them?
Opal is not.
That's a semi-precious stone, I thought.
It's the one I'm looking for is obsidian.
Yeah.
Obsidian, yeah.
The ones you didn't get were agate. Amethyst.
Oh,
I said amethyst.
I said amethyst.
Very, very sorry. That's very sorry.
Very early on.
Bonus partial credit. We also had adventurine.
Never heard of it.
Chalcedony.
Who?
Chalcedony.
Chalcedony. Chrysocolla. Chrysoprase. citrine, hematite.
Citrine.
Hematite. Jasper.
Oh, yeah, hematite.
Jet. Kunzite. Lapis lazuli. Moonstone.
Lapis lazuli. Oh, yeah, that's what the Egyptians used a lot.
Peridot. Rhodonite. Sunstone. I think, actually, Jim, you might have said tiger's eye.
And yeah, sure you did. Yeah, just take credit for it, Jim. Just take credit for it. We won't check the tape.
What does the French word turquoise even mean? Has to do with where it came from.
He who must be swapped for baubles.
No.
Turquoise.
Where does turquoise come from?
This is sort of ironic. It says it's named after the country that the French thought it came from.
Turkey?
Turkey is correct.
Turquoise.
Turkey stone.
Oh. Turquoise.
However, there is no turquoise in Turkey. It mostly comes from Iran and America.
Okay, sure.
We have a lead on the turquoise market.
Hmm.
Here's one that every red-blooded Michigander should know. Petoskey stones are made from what?
Plants? You know, fossilized plants?
It's not plants, actually.
Fossilized?
Is it fossilized something?
A kind of animal.
Some little
fossilized tourist.
Some water.
Some kind of shellfish, isn't it?
Fossilized fudge.
Fossilized fudge.
A snail?
No, it says it's fossilized coral. We thought about where the Great Ocean was at some point. Apparently, there was a lot of coral up north.
Hmm.
Pretty interesting. What is the difference between a thunder egg and a geode?
A geode is still kept intact until you crack it open?
You're on the right track.
A geode is open and a thunder egg is closed?
You could even think about it one step further. Geode is hollow. You open it up and there's fun stuff on the inside. A thunder egg is just a rock. It's just
I never
there's
heard
nothing
of a
on
thunder
the inside.
Egg.
Well, you get
is this like a whistle pig?
Yeah, you get them at the Flatulence Hall of Fame.
Brought to you by whistle pigs and thunder eggs.
And pork and beans.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wait a minute.
You don't want to pass a thunder egg.
We're going to go down the Blazing Saddles path
yes,
here, aren't we?
We're already there.
Oh, dear Lord.
We're already there. Can Lake... we're going to have to wait before we go any deeper. There's only one more question left. We'll have to hit it up next time. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Abbasid.
See you soon.
Professor Maggio.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Let's pick up where we left off. Who is the partner of the original Human Torch?
The Sparky. Human match.
No.
Sparky is right, isn't it?
No.
It's something like that.
No, he masqueraded as a snowblower. It's a brand name.
The Prince.
The Toro.
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 Oh.
Got it.
And both of them cried out, flame on! And they wanted to turn on.
Sarah has a wonderful story about flames.
Oh, yes, it was a story of Tennyson's youth and his mother, who her headdress caught on fire, and she telephoned for the butler and she said, James, I'm on fire. And he said, I'll get Amy right away. Because apparently it was the lady's maid's job to put her mistress out when she was on fire.
Different unions.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and technically our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Maia.